book of Acts, chapter 2, and let's stand. We'll be reading from verse 37 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily such should be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in the Bible you showed us that you were so pleased with the early church that you added to them daily such as should be saved. You added to that church, Lord, and I was there were more church members. You added to the church such as should be saved. We thank you that today we have this passage before us, and I pray that our mind and our focus will be on your word today. The Lord will be able to hear from heaven. We know the only avenue, Lord, of knowing your will is through the word of God. And I pray that as a church, as those people who love you, that our eyes and our hearts and our obedience will be open to your word, Lord. Teach us. And as we seek by this year, Lord, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord incrementally will add to the body of Bible knowledge we have, that we might be the type of people you want us to be. Lord, the world have many principles, the world have many philosophies that seek, Father, to mold us into their mold. But God, we don't want to be part of this world because you've called us out of this world. We want to be part of who you are, what you stand for. As a church, we want to be united in one around what you stand for, because this church belongs to you, Lord. And I pray today as we seek your word, that you speak to our hearts in a mighty way. Is there someone, if there is one person, Father, who have never repented from their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord, I pray you do that work today. For someone, Lord, who may be hearing this message, perhaps they have been here for many, many months and years, I pray, Lord, that you would seek to touch the person's heart in a way that will honor your name. Lord, I don't know what you want to do. It's your time. I pray as your servant, as I preach your word, Lord, that you would just take these words. Hide me behind your cross and help me to just say the things you want me to say. And Lord, thank you for what you are going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ, okay, as you sit down, the Lord Jesus Christ have already went back to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ told the 12 disciples, all right, wait in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in Jerusalem, and then I will send you the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then you will go. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were all together in one accord. In other words, they were all together. They were united. They were praying. And the Bible says there was a sound from heaven, and the sound came. They heard a sound from heaven, and the Bible says that on every one of the 120 believers were cloven tongues of fire, and they spoke with other tongues. The word tongues there in the Bible means foreign languages. It means a language that I may not know, but someone else knows on planet Earth. Not the babbling tongues that you hear today. So when they spoke in tongues, during that time, remember, it was the Feast of the Pentecost. There was a big holiday time happening during that time. The Jewish culture, there are three holidays that all the people of the Jews will need to go to Jerusalem. Number one is the Passover. Number two is the Pentecost. Number three is the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Booth, a remembering of the wilderness wandering. Interesting, in the Feast of the Booth, all the Jews in Jerusalem will actually make tents in outside. Basically, they go camping. to remember they were in the wilderness during the Exodus, okay? And so there were thousands of Jews during that time, and all of a sudden, they heard this 120 disciples of Jesus Christ speaking with other tongues. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they actually understood what these 120 were speaking. They did not need an interpreter. Contrary to what's happening today in the different churches, that, when you speak in tongues, you don't need an interpreter. The 120 people spoke in tongues. And the people, how hear we the wonderful things of God in our own tongue? In other words, 当他们赞美主的时候,大家都了解. Malay, I don't know how to say. Hananese, I know a little bit. In ang kong, miwe, ikong, yes, so I wear, ho. Nulutai wo kong mi bo. How many of you understood what I said? If you're Hananese, yeah, right? Got Hananese, you don't understand, right? But you know when in ang kong wear ga tai, ho, unang hia, ho, in ang kong, ti, sang ti, something like that, I'm not good in Hananese. But you know what? The apostles didn't have that problem. The moment the Holy Spirit came, all of them spoke in tongues. The people said, how come we can understand what they're saying? You know, there are some people who will then say, these guys are full of new wine. Now they're drunk. Peter stood up and said, look, guys, these guys are not drunk. Because it's only early in the morning. The Jews don't practice drinking early in the morning. They only drink in the evening. Just like many people in Singapore. Only coffee shops, they open past, they drink in the evening. Okay, so the Apostle Peter said, look guys, these guys are not drunk. But what you are seeing is what has been spoken of in Joel, where the Holy Spirit came and the people will speak with new tongues. Okay? And then after that, Peter went on to preach a whole sermon about how, and he ended up with this, and you guys have taken the Prince of Life and have crucified him. And then Peter sat down and kept quiet. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the Bible says, they that heard this were pricked in their hearts. When they heard the word of God, they were pricked in their hearts. You know what they said? Men and brethren, what shall we do? The proper response to the word of God is to ask either the preacher or God, Lord, I've heard the word. I'm convicted in my heart. Well, what shall we do? That is an honest, transparent, faithful response to a proper hearing of the word of God. Anything less than that, we will not grow in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the story goes, then Peter says, repent. Why repent? Because these guys, before the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost happens 50 days after Passover. These guys generally stayed back after the Passover. What happened during the Passover? Anyone tell me about Jesus Christ? What happened? Jesus was crucified. Remember? During the Passover. So at the Passover, Jesus was crucified. Guess who put Jesus to the cross? Who put Jesus to the cross? These guys. Remember? They had Barabbas, and they had Jesus, and Pontius Pilate said, I give you Barabbas, I give you Jesus, who do you want? And what did the crowd say? Release to us Barabbas. Barabbas is the symbol of every sinner. I was reading a message on Barabbas or Jesus, and I had tears in my eyes because you know, there was such a strong significance that when the world chose Barabbas, Barabbas was supposed to go to the cross, yes? Jesus was arrested and was supposed to go to the cross. Yes? Who rightfully should go to the cross? Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a traitor. He was selfish. He cared only about himself. Jesus was all love. He was all holiness. He cared only about the people around him. He didn't even care about himself. And so at the end, when Pontius Pilate asked, who will you choose, Barabbas or Jesus? The Bible says the people chose Barabbas. Barabbas, a sinner, murderer, traitor, was set free. Jesus took his place. Jesus took his place. Jesus took my place. And so in Acts chapter 2, as Peter preached, these people begin to realize, hey, we chose the wrong guy. We chose the wrong guy, guys. When Pontius Pilate asked us, who do we want? We chose Barabbas. We should have chosen Jesus. And now we understand, when Peter preached, you have taken the Prince of Life and crucified him. But God did not leave him in the grave. God raised him up again. And we are witnesses of these things. And so the men and brethren say, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, the forgiveness of sin. We have to repent and turn away and turn back to God. You know what? The people say, yes, sir, that's me. I need to turn away. And you know what? The Bible said, it's not the greatest, but one of the big revivals, 3,000 Jews got saved. It is estimated there was probably about 50,000 in Jerusalem that day. Probably a small percentage got saved. But in Acts chapter 6, there was a church numbering 50,000 in Jerusalem because of the resurrection. But those 3,000 people were saved, guess what? What they did immediately after they got saved, they joined together, they had Bible studies, they enjoyed the church fellowship so much. The Bible said that many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, which were the leaders of the church, and many people trusted Christ. The church was united, they were together, they ate bread from house to house, they praised God, they were glad, they were united, and the Bible says, and the Lord added daily to the church. They didn't add once in every year or once a month. Every day, people were getting saved and added to the church. What kind of church is Ambassador Baptist Church? You know, as a pastor, I need to check that. I need to ask ourselves. And I hope as a church, we will ask the same. I asked the Lord this. Lord, what are some of the evidences of why you add to the church daily? Why, Lord, did you add daily to the church? There must be some clues. And the Bible gave us some clues. There are 8 clues that I'm going to share with you. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach 8-point message. I'm going to carve it. Next week, I'll continue. I'm just going to work on 4 this week. And I pray that God will help us to realize, before God can bless us as a church, he does look for some evidences. Just as a parent with a child, in parenting, you need to be able to don't reward wrong. When your child is throwing a tantrum, I want, please don't give the lollipop first. You know why? Listen, I'm not a pastor now, I'm a therapist. That's how I work as a therapist. When you reward a child for misbehavior, when he's throwing a tantrum, and you give the lollipop, you know what you're teaching him? Throw a tantrum, then I will give you the lollipop. For us, our thinking is, I want to keep him quiet, so I give him the lollipop so you don't cry, right? That's not what the child thinks. I have seen children do this. I want. Have you seen children do that before? Some of you, yeah? You know what that in Hokkien terms? Geng. I don't know why you say it. It means they deceived you, okay? So, you know, when God gave us certain things, he looks for clues. Because our Heavenly Father is so loving that he's not going to spoil his children. Because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, whomsoever the Lord loves, he will discipline. And so for us as a church, I believe God shows us some evidences why he need to add daily to our church. So what is the definition of church? Church, according to Jesus, comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means, just in the Jewish days, what they do, whenever they want a committee to take care of a project in the city, they will usually call a group of people, a committee. That's called an ekklesia. An ekklesia is a group of people being called out to focus on something that is important to the Caesars or the king. Okay? Now, what's happened is God says, I'm going to call out my ekklesia. I'm going to call out people that will focus on a project that I need them to do. You know what's a project? Two things. The evangelism of the world and the building of disciples. And so God, from the group of people, saved people out, and he's going to put them in the local church to grow them. But before God can use these people, there must be certain evidences. So church is not a building. I praise God we have this place. We have moved from place to place. And in order for God to give us this place, it is pure grace. I hope we understand that. We thank God for brethren who have helped along the way, for those who have been with us in the small 1096, in the a bit big 4 Jalan Telopo, and a bit smaller Christchurch room. You know, it's all grace. It's all grace that God has allowed here, us to be here. But the church is not the place. I hope you understand that. The church is the people. So for God to bless the church, the people, he needs to see certain evidences in the people. I want to show you 4 things today. Are we a New Testament church? Okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 30, what are some characteristics of the assembly of the New Testament church? Number one, they, children, are you ready? With your pens and paper, they are saved. That's a simple one, right? They were saved. The Bible says, and they gladly received the word. After Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repentance represents a change of life. In other words, those Jewish believers, or rather before they became a Christian, before they were pricked in their hearts, they hated Jesus. They were with the Pharisees all the time. They believed that the Pharisees were right. They said that Jesus was wrong. But after Jesus rose from the dead and Peter preached that message, they realized they were wrong. And what do you do when you are wrong? There are two responses when you find out you are wrong. One, you will say, I'm not wrong one. Right? Some people say, I'm not wrong one. Or you can repent and say, you are right, I'm wrong. And so the Jewish Jews at that time, when they heard Peter's message, they say, I'm wrong, man. I'm wrong. And Peter said, you need to change your mind. You need to, don't look at Jesus just as a Jewish prophet. He's your Messiah. And the people said, yes. What do we have to do? Repent. And as an indication that you have repented, be baptized. Now, baptism is not part of salvation. It is important, but it's not part of salvation. It is very clear from the scriptures, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repentance, those in the youth rally, remember I taught, repentance plus faith in Christ equals biblical salvation. Right? Okay? Repentance plus faith in Christ equals biblical salvation. So that's what you need to do. But the Jews had to prove their faith. And so Peter said, be baptized. Baptism shows you are already saved. It shows you're already saved. Just like this ring on my finger, I'm married. Before I was married, I loved my wife. And then I asked her to marry me. And I have a public ceremony. I say, I didn't love her when I wore this ring. I loved her before that. Does that make sense? When I got married, the ceremony was to tell everyone in the world, girls, Selecta tell Singba, forget about me. My heart is hers. Sorry, you guys, you have disqualified or whatever. and telling the whole world, one man, one woman for the rest of your life. That's what the Bible teaches. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure she's a faithful wife. You know, when you get baptized, you're telling the world, I'm a Christian. You can see through my life. Okay, I'll touch on the second point later. But there was repentance. The first point is repentance. Because Jesus says, except you repent, you will likewise perish. That's why Peter said, you have to repent. Turn from your old ways, turn to Christ. And then you need to put faith in Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These two parts are important, essential key points. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith in Christ, repentance, all put together. Repentance and faith must come together. And then Peter said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the criteria for receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost? Today in thousands of churches all over the world, including Singapore, you have to come out to the stage and say, if you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, come and pray. The Bible says, if you repent from sin, trust Jesus, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, every Christian who have trusted Christ already have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is actually the evidence of your salvation. Now, it doesn't mean immediately you will do a lot of wonderful things. In John chapter 3, just listen to this. The Bible says, the wind blows where it wants to blow, where it listeth. You do not know where the wind will blow, but you can hear the sound. When a person is a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into that person. It is a supernatural work of God to make you a child of God. You don't know whether it's happened. After the Holy Spirit moves in that person, it enters that person, you don't know what is happening, but you know what? You can see the sound. You can hear the evidence. In other words, I used to not love the Bible, now I do. I used to don't want to go to church, now I do. Why? The change is inside. I can hear the sound. Okay? And so, repentance and faith come together, leads us to receiving the Holy Ghost. And number one, they were saved. Let me ask you, have you repented from your sin? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Putting the two together equals to biblical salvation. God will see fit to add to our church when everyone have this. And that was biblical salvation. Okay, that's one. Number two, they were not only saved, they were different by the activities they were involved in. They are different by the activities they were involved in. What do I mean? What's the first thing after they gladly received the word? What did they do next? Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, you know, after they heard the message, they were convicted. What should we do after they hear Peter? The Bible says, did they gladly receive the word? The word receive means welcome. In the past, they didn't want to hear the word of God. They didn't want to hear that Jesus died for them. But after they heard it and they were convicted, the Holy Spirit working in them, they welcomed the word. They that gladly received the word were? What? They will gladly receive the word were? They that gladly received the word were? Baptized! They were different by the activities they were involved in. Number one, they were baptized. That's what the Bible says. And that's part of the Great Commission. That is so important in the heart of Jesus. Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them. Today, you know, in Jesus' mind, baptism is an indication of our identification with Christ. I say again, baptism is an indication of our identification with Christ. It is absolutely mind-boggling, and you cannot reconcile in the biblical mind frame when a person gets saved and does not want to be baptized. That is not a Christian thinking. Because the early church, when they gladly received the word, they were immersed. You know why? Baptism wasn't the instruction of anyone else except two persons, the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrines of the apostles. The church is built on the doctrines of Christ and the teachings of the apostles. And so when Peter says, repent and be baptized, immediately they did. Number one, they were baptized. Number two, they were students and doers of the word. In Acts chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 42, after they were baptized, in verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That means they became church members. Who's the added unto them? Them refers to what? The 100 and? Good. Okay, Acts chapter 1, there were 120 disciples. Later on in Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues, right? And then everyone heard about them, right? And then after that, 3,000 got saved. They were added unto them. It refers to the 120. The church was already around, by the way, in the Gospels. And so they were added to the church. They became church members. There are some churches like Gospel Light Christian Church who believe you can get baptized or don't have to join the church. That is unscriptural. Because in the Greek, it means that when you get baptized, you become a member. It's just like when you sign a contract with your company. I sign on the dotted line. What do you become? An employee of the company, right? Can you say, I sign on the dotted line, but you know what? Let me decide whether I still want to come to the company. Doesn't make sense. Baptism makes you a church member. Let me make it clear. Salvation puts you into the family of God, which involves everyone who trusts Christ. Baptism puts you into his local church so that you can serve together. Does that make sense? That is the plan of God in the Bible. So they were baptized. But you know what? The next thing they did in verse 42? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines. They were students and doers of the word. The word continue steadfastly means when the apostles taught, they were listening. When the apostles taught, they were listening. They were understanding, and then they were doing the word. The early church were not listeners to the word. They were doers of the word. Oh, that is so important today. Because over Google, many churches, we discuss the Bible. Oh, we have a lot of opinions about the Bible, how it should be interpreted. You know what? I need to share with you this. There was one person I was hearing the preaching, was talking about this. He said, okay, let's pretend as a dad. I invite my daughters and my son. Come, son and daughters, go and clean your room. Okay? And then my sons and daughters started a committee. Let's discuss what that means. When he says, go and clean your room. And they will have PowerPoint slides. That said, go and clean your room. And then all the friends, maybe they invite the neighbors, and let's discuss what my father means when he says, go and clean your room. They have PowerPoint slides. They have visual presentation of each word, what it means. Or maybe they call, let's fast and pray, so that we understand better what that means when dad says, go and clean your room. So 3 hours later, dad comes, finds a group in his house. He says, what are you guys doing? Oh, dad, oh, we just wanted to make sure we know what you meant when you told us, go and clean your room. And dad says, go and clean your room. You know, we laugh at that. I almost laugh, you know, as this preacher was saying, the whole church laugh. But isn't that the evidence of modern-day Christianity? That the Bible is no longer a book for obedience. It's a book for discussion. Oh, there are many intellectual Christians today. But God is not looking for that. He's looking for obedient Christians. They were baptized. They were students. The early church were doers of the word. They never questioned what God said. If God tells me to be baptized, I'm getting baptized. If God tells me to give, I'll give. God tells me to serve, I'll serve. God tells me to win souls for Christ, I'll win souls for Christ. I may not understand everything that's involved. You know, we thrive on this. I need to understand fully before I serve. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, John 7:17, if you will do his will, then you will know, understand what he means. Isn't it interesting that many times in the things that we are concerned about, sometimes we don't understand, we go ahead and do it anyway, but after we've done it, no wonder it's like that one. Right? That's what Jesus means. Heavenly things cannot be comprehended by earthly intellect. It can only be understood by prayerful obedience. I say it again. Heavenly wisdom can never be comprehended by earthly intellect, but it can only be understood by prayerful obedience. You say, God, I don't understand what you mean, but because you say it, I'll do it. They were students of the word. And then, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they that continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They were together. Fellowship encourages one another. In Acts chapter 28, verse 14, 15, let me just read, okay? Paul was just after a shipwreck, okay? And he was in the shipwreck because he was on his way to see Caesar, because he was being arrested wrongly, and these soldiers tried to cover up, said, Paul will let you go. Paul says, no, I appeal to Caesar. And then after Paul actually gave his defense between King Agrippa, all right, the king, and almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then after that, King Agrippa said, okay, if he did not appeal to Caesar, I would have let him go. But because he did, well, I got to follow the books. And so Paul went on this journey, and he was shipwrecked. In Acts chapter 28, he was all alone. The Romans actually wanted to kill him because in the Roman army, if any of your prisoners run away, they will kill the soldiers. They will execute the soldiers. So Paul says, don't run away. God's going to take care of us. And he did. So Paul was arrested, and they brought him to this place. In Acts chapter 28, notice what happened when Paul saw Christians. When we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them and wanted to stay with them 7 days, so we went toward Rome. And from Rome, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. The last part, when Paul saw, he thanked God. Paul, a prisoner of the Roman Empire, he was suffering for Christ. He just went through a shipwreck. He was falsely accused. But when he saw Christians, he thanked God and he took courage. You know, when you come to church, what are you looking for? Christians ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that we can encourage one another with the word, and we can pray for one another. And that's what we need to do. The Christians were together. It's interesting to me, some Christians don't want the fellowship of Christians. They choose to be by themselves. Can I say that is an unbiblical thought? The devil wants to isolate you and destroy your Christian life. I say again, when you choose to isolate yourself from Christians, the devil wants to isolate you and destroy you. In my 20 years of being a Christian and 15 years of pastoral ministry, I realized one thing. There's so many times people said, leave me alone. You know what I found? Every single one of them either walked away from God or got severely disciplined by God. One of them got struck by lightning. Pastor Johnny, this is, I can tell you, preachers have hundreds of stories. They choose to isolate themselves. I've seen that. Satan has this strategy. When you're disgruntled about something, or maybe you're discouraged and all that, he keeps you in that state. You know why? So that you don't get the encouragement you need. But the early church, the Bible says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. You know what that tells me? You need to be in church every time the church doors are open. That's what, because it encourages us. Okay? I know in Singapore sometimes it's hard because of your work and all that. And I don't think God, I see, if you have a sense of duty, then you'll be at your work. But you know, in your heart, you will still want to say, I need to be with God's church. I need to be with God's church because I'm a Christian. Okay? And so, they were different by the activities. They were baptized. They were students of the word and doers. They were constantly fellowshipping. You know what's the next thing? A Baptist is always famous for that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Breaking of bread. Now, breaking of bread has two meanings. One is the Lord's Supper. One is eating together. When we were in KL, some of you know this street in KL called Elor. Elor Street. A-L-O-R. Elor Street is a very famous street, probably about 300 meters. On both sides, I'm not kidding you, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there are any provision shops. They are all hawker stalls for 300 meters nonstop. On both sides. And we were staying about like 5 minutes from there. And so Jeremiah said, hey, we must come here and eat. So we went. So as we, as I said, there were all kinds of things. Okay, there were, I don't know whether there was dog meat, but I know there were all kinds of meat there. You know, there was all kinds of meat that you could find, all the food that there were. There was some fried ice cream. You know, there was fried ice cream. There were all kinds of food on both sides. And then there was one store that had three stores. And it was just full. It was so crowded on a Friday or Saturday night. Okay? Just picture this. Let's pretend all of you are hawkers. Okay? And all of this side is also hawkers. Do you know there was one building that was here? My children would know. You know what's that building? KL Baptist Church. KL Baptist Church. Oh, okay, the Baptists like their food, right? You know the Philippines, right? The Baptists, when they come together, it's always food fellowship. And KL Baptist Church was just right there. And both sides were food. All right? But you know what? Now, that's not so much of a good testimony, I can tell you that. All the Baptists think about is food. We have a problem. But the early church actually ate together. When the Lord's Supper came, they made it a point. For church members, you need to make it a point to come to Lord's Supper. Okay? You'll be having it probably in the next 1 or 2 weeks. But they ate together. They broke bread. They broke bread. They ate together. Now I'm amazed at Christians. Do you know that for Jesus, if you study the life of Jesus, every time he ate, he was always with someone. You know why? Eating is always a social thing, whereby we can interact and talk to one another. Right? Hey, come, let's go for tea or coffee or high tea. When we come together, what do? We encourage one another. That was what the early church did. But you know, in the early church, I'll talk about it a bit later. Okay, firstly, they ate together. I'm not encouraging us always to only have food, then we come together as Christians. You know the problem with Christians sometimes? They only have food and nothing Christian. It's no longer a Christian fellowship. It's just a high tea. Okay? We need to come together because we want to encourage one. And food is just a medium. And then another thing they did together was they prayed together. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the activities was they were baptized, they were doers of the word, they were fellowshipping, they're eating together, and they prayed together. They prayed together. They prayed together. The early church prayed together. Point number three. Firstly, they were saved. Number two, the New Testament church were different by the activities they were involved in. Let me ask you, what kind of activities are you always involved in? There are a few categories. Number one, work. For students, it's your studies. These two are major. This is part of your duties of life. To take care of your family, for the children is to study, to honor God and honor your parents. So these are the two major activities. What about when it comes to your free time? What are the activities are you involved in? For some teenagers today is this, yes? Yeah, some of them smiling already. Okay? Not all computer games are bad. Any ones with killing, whatever, you know, those demonic features, you have to be very careful. I don't want to share the testimony of this man who killed someone because he was controlled by so-called their computer game type. What other thing? Adults, what are you involved in your free time? Especially when you know there is something going on in church or something that you need to do spiritually. The early church, they were different by the activities they were involved in. Point number three. The early church loved each other fervently. Why do I say that? In John chapter 13, verse 34, 35, now I'll give you the evidence from the book of Acts, okay? They loved each other fervently. Why do I say that? Jesus, before he left, said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." John chapter 13, verse 34, 35. The early church loved one another because they obeyed what the Lord taught them through the apostles. Okay? The love of for each other was commanded by the apostles. 1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." That's the gospel. "Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." It's interesting. Biblical salvation leads you to loving other Christians. Which means that when we say we are Christians, you know the natural progression is that we will love other believers. In other words, we can't wait to be in church. We can't wait to go out fellowshipping and talking about God and loving. You know, one of the saddest things in my life as a pastor when I hear Christians say, "I always talk about the Bible." What do you talk about? Why are you Christians? The common interest of Christians should be Premier League, right? What's Premier League? Soccer. The common interest of Christians ought to be your computer games, right? I'm not saying you don't talk about, you can't talk about, I'm not saying that. But when the common interest of Christians is anything but Christ, God can't bless the church. Because this church belongs to Him. The church belongs to Him. They love one another fervently. You know, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. One of the biggest reasons, and after I turn to Acts chapter 2 to show you the evidence that they actually love one another. In 1 John 3:10, verse 15, the apostles taught us, "In this the children of God are manifest." In other words, this is how you know one person is a Christian. Okay? Many people are calling them Christians, but let's put that to the analysis of the Bible. What does the Bible say a Christian is? "So in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." Either you're a child of God, child of the devil. "Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God." If you don't do what is right as a trend of habit, and even if you do wrong, I'm not saying that we are going to definitely 100% do right all the time, but if you struggle and you still fall, but there's a struggle in your heart that you want to do right but you're weak. I'm not talking about that kind of people. I'm talking about the people that say, "I don't care. I just want to do what I want. I don't see anything wrong with that." When it was clearly shared to him, it's wrong in the sin. "He that doeth not righteousness is not of God." You know the second part? "Neither he that loveth not his brother." In other words, there are people who say, "I don't have to take care of Christians. I don't have to care. Oh, I don't have to reach out to care for these people. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Cain is in hell today, by the way. Cain and Abel, Cain is in hell today. And John uses him as an example, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, the devil, that killed his brother. In modern day terms, I don't think anyone in Singapore will ever dare to kill his brother or father or mother. He won't dare to kill. You know why? Because death penalty, ma. Okay? But you know what Jesus said? If you hate your brother, you really murdered me in your heart. If you hate someone. Okay? So John uses that. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Now we've become a Christian because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible is very clear. The early church loved one another. Christian love is always expressed. I say again, Christian love is always expressed. Have you ever wondered why in the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, that God used the translators to interpret love, agape, into the word charity? Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know why? Because charity is something that you can see. When you say you love someone, it's not enough just to say in God's terms. When God said he loved, he gave his son as an expression of his love. Does it make sense? As Christians, our Christian love needs to be expressed. Many of you have expressed your love for myself and my family through gifts, through prayer, through encouragement. But some Christians will say, I love God, but they do nothing for God. You can't say you love Jesus and not do the things that he tells you to do. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why calleth me ye Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Christian love is always expressed. The early church had selfless sharing. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, you turn back there. There's selfless sharing. The Bible says in Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And all things common. Okay? Everything that everyone had, they shared. Because there were many poor people during that time. Many poor people. And so what they did was they come together and say, hey, if this brother have need, let's give it to this brother. If that sister has need, let's give it to them. And they had all things common. Okay? They had selfless sharing. But they also have sacrificial giving. Look at 45. Acts 2:45. They sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as everyone had need. There was one man by the name of Barnabas in the Bible, Acts chapter 4. Barnabas was a relatively wealthy man. He's quite rich. Maybe in Singaporean terms, he has a plot of land. Maybe he had 3 condominiums, let's say. Okay. How much is one condo today? Those in property, how much is one condo today? Oh, no, the one in North Point City, how much is one condo? Anyone explore that? No, okay. Okay, let's say maybe it's 1.5 million, okay? So maybe Barnabas had 3 condominiums, at $4.5 million. No, he did. He became a Christian. He sold. Because you see, I cannot use my condo to buy chicken rice. Okay? You know what he did? He liquidated, meaning that he converted his condominium into cash. What he did, he sold the condominium, he took the $4.5 million, you know what he did? He gave it to the church. Now, the church were in charge of by the apostles, and what the apostles did was he gave it to everyone that had need. He was sacrificial. Barnabas sold his plot of land, gave all the proceeds to the church. Now, if God moved you to do that, it has to be God that moved you to do that. Don't say Pastor Johnny asked you to sell your house, okay? Please. Some people may not, Pastor say everything. God has to move you. But if God is asking you, would you give up your 13th month bonus so that someone in another country can continue the ministry? Would you surrender a big part of your bank account so that God's work can go on? Some people say, oh, I'm going to give God, if God help me touch the Toto or lottery, I'm going to give him 60% of it, you know? Now, how much do you have now? Now, are you willing to give the 60% to God? There's someone who said, don't say that we're willing to die for Christ, you can't live for him now. The early church had sacrificial giving. They gave up because, why? They were united by one thing. They were not united because it was an emotional thing. They were changed. Okay? Last point, they were saved, they were different by the activities they were involved in. There's baptism, they were doing the word, they fellowship, they ate together, they prayed together, they loved one another, the last point, they were united. Look at verse number 46. And they continuing daily one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The Bible said that the early church were together all the time, eating together. But you know the key thing that they had gladness and singleness of heart. They had one heart and one mind. One heart and one mind in the things of God. And may I just use two verses? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Firstly, their unity was in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Sorry, first 1, 2, 3. Ephesians 4, verse 1, 2, 3. Let me just read. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In other words, when you become a Christian, walk in alignment to the characteristics of a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, then, as we saw in the scriptures, they repented, they were saved, they were baptized, they continued in the word, they were fellowshipping together, they ate together, they prayed together. And then verse 2 in Ephesians 4, 2, with all lowliness of and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Remember, they love one another. In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those who are members of Ambassador Baptist Church, I want you to listen clearly. When we first organized to become an independent Baptist church, all about you, there was a great joy. We all bounded together by one common thing: service for Christ, love for Him and His Word. We all bound together with the unity, and we were glad. We were happy. You know what Paul said? You need to endeavor to keep that unity. You need to fight. The word endeavor means to labor, to put in effort. Endeavor. You know why? Because Satan is going to come to break that unity two different ways. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. In order for us to grow strong and to be attractive to the world, it's very hard to attract the world when the church is fighting. I'm not saying we are, okay? It's very hard to attract lost people to trust Christ when Christians are fighting. I'm not saying we are, okay? But I'm saying that we need to listen to what the apostles are teaching us. The Ephesian church were fighting for the truth of God. From Ephesians, from both Acts to Ephesians, but by Revelation chapter 2, God was sounding out the final warning letter. If you leave your first love and don't come back, I'm going to remove you. You know, as a church, you need to be united in the Spirit. This church doesn't exist for Pastor Johnny. In fact, one of the brethren was very open by saying, no, we're very glad that when Pastor's not around, the church can still run. That should be the way. The church is not dependent on a man. It's dependent on Christ. That's why every one of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, then you remember, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be one. To say, this is God's church. I'm going to put all my effort to help God's church grow. I'm going to encourage people to see Christ, not ourselves. They were united in spirit. That's what they were. But you know what? They were united also because of the Word of God. Let's look there in John chapter 17. I want to look at the prayer of Christ, and then we'll close, okay? John chapter 17, verse 6 to 8. The church was united because of the Word of God. And I don't think I'm just pulling it out, because as you turn to John chapter 17, let me just share with you Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible says, and they that gladly received the Word, they that welcomed the Word of God of the apostles, were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the teachings of the apostles. All the disciples, every time they come to church, they were listening to what the apostles were saying. And they were to the point there was one church in Thessalonica that says that every time the apostle come and preach, they welcome the word, but you know what? They check out whether these things were so. Acts chapter 17. When Bethel Baptist Church forgot to bring the people, we need to be united around this. Not your opinions, not my opinions, it must be this word. In every situation, in every trouble we face, in every challenges we face, in everything we need God for, it needs to be from the word. Men's opinion mean little in the courts of heaven. It is God's opinion that matter. And in the church, we need to realize that. Oh, Brother Johnny, you know, I still struggle with the worldly philosophies. That's why God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we love the world, love the Father is not in you. And so in John chapter 17, I want you to hear the priestly prayer of Christ. When the Bible said, you know, how many of you, what is the Lord's Prayer? Many people think the Lord's Prayer is, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? That's not the Lord's Prayer. It was Jesus teaching people to pray. Okay? John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, listen to what he said in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. You know what it means to keep thy word? Whatever Jesus said, they kept it inside. You know, I'll share this. My mom was sharing with me before my dad died. My dad said one thing to her, and she always reminds us, listen to your mom. Before my dad died, the last words of my dad to my mom, to us, the time I was 5 years old, I didn't even understand anything. But my mom remembered, I don't bring up anything. Listen to your mom. It was in 1973, February. I thank God my mom's going to heaven with me when I die. We just trust in Christ. Oh yeah, it was hard over the years, no? You know why my mom remembered that? Because that person was her husband. She loved her husband. And whatever the husband says, she would keep it. The only reason why some of you who are backslider will come back to Christ is to realize that Jesus, when he died, said, I want you to be reconciled to God. I want you to serve him. But you know what? Jesus not only died, he rose again. You know why the disciples were on fire? Before Jesus rose from the dead, they were chickens. But when after Jesus rose from the dead, they were courageous as lions. You know why? They kept the word of God in their hearts. You know, some of you who are Christians, if the things of world can sway you from serving Christ, then your strength is small. Your love for Christ is not as strong as you think it is. I want to encourage you today. Notice what Jesus preached or prayed. They have kept thy word. The reason why we will keep thy word, God's word, is because we love him. Now they, the apostles, have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, so they have that knowledge. So when we come to church and hear the word of God, it's not what Pastor Johnny says, it's what God says. We have to be clear. Because many people accuse me of being legalistic. Many people accuse a pastor of saying that I do this, this, this. But when I show them the scripture, it's something else. Okay? And so, Jesus prayed. They know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given them the words which thou gavest me. And they have welcomed them, received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have put their faith, belief, that thou hast sent me. They were united around the world. Bethel Baptist Church will only be strong when every member put their faith in God's word, not in what Pastor Johnny said. God put me here to tell you there will be more time to study. This evening, I'll be at the airport, 5:10. with Brother Joshua. We're going to the Philippines for pastoral training. I'm going to be trained 9 hours straight out of the scriptures by a man of God who loves God. Not because so I'll be more knowledgeable, but to be humbled that I don't know as much as I think I should. So that I can come back and share with you what God will teach me. My question for you is, will you be united around His word? Ambassador Baptist Church cannot grow on men's opinions. Ambassador Baptist Church needs to be united around God's word. The early church were united because everyone continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not in our emotions, not in how we feel, not in blaming situations around us. Dear friends, if you're a Christian, your allegiance and loyalty, number one, is to God and what He says. Because one day, when we stand before God, last verse, let's turn to John chapter 12. Notice who will be our judge in the last day. In John chapter 12, verse 48. It will not be Pastor Johnny. It will not be your dad. Really? My dad's not going to say anything on the judgment day? No. He will be just like one of you who will be judged. But what will be the basis of that judgment? John chapter 12, verse 48. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words had one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In every court of law, there is a judge. In some countries of the world, there is corruption, meaning that the judge will judge according to what he thinks. But a righteous judge will judge according to the constitution of the country and the laws of the land. Would you agree with me? The judge has no right to impose what he thinks, but he will just say what the constitution says and what the laws of the land says. Jesus said, if you reject me, that's fine. But on the last day, there is one word that is going to judge you. The words which are spoken, the same will be your judge in the last day. God will judge Ambassador Baptist Church on how closely we will stick to the word of God, not to what men says and what people's emotional terms say. Because when men speak outside of God's word, Isaiah 8:20, there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, chapter 8, verse 20. So as we conclude, next we will do the next four. Number one, God added to the church because the people were saved, genuine salvation, repentance from sin, plus salvation, faith in Christ equals salvation. They were saved. Number two, they were different by the activities they do in their lives. They were baptized. They continued in the Word of God. They fellowshipped constantly. They ate together. And they prayed together. Third point, they loved one another. In other words, the care goes beyond normal human care. They will go out of their way. Many people would even die for their own friends. Throughout Baptist history, or maybe Christian history, there were Christians who were willing to die for other Christians simply because they are Christians. And number four, they were united by the Holy Spirit when they put them together in the church, and they were united around the world. You know why we spend, you know why in Ambassador we put such a high premium on this? Because at the last day, when God judges us, it will be out of this world. So it makes sense for God to give us the notes before the judgment seat. That we study it, do it. And may 2018 be a changing point in our lives where as Christians in Ambassador we will say, Lord, I'm just going to put my faith in your word. I'm going to study it. I encourage you to come for Sunday school. For the youth, make it a point, 2:30 to 6. 6 includes the playtime, okay? But 2:30 to 4:30, we are going through the New Testament in all the stories this whole year, so that there will be quizzes so that you can know the word. Come on Tuesday for the youth, for Bible Talk, Jeremiah will take take you through the Old Testament, so Old and New Testament, so that you'll be filled with the Word of God. The members of our church, come for the Sunday school, that we will, by God's grace, ground you in the basic doctrines of the faith. We don't want to go, keep going back, so that we will know the Word of God. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, because whatever I say, Lord, it doesn't really matter. But what you mean, what you say from your precious word. Lord, as we look at the early church, oh Lord, there were people who were saved. They turned away from their sin and they turned faith towards Christ. Lord, then there were activities that they placed in their lives because it was vital for their Christian growth and their love of the Savior. They were baptized to show their love. They studied the word and they did it. Lord, they prayed together, they fellowshiped together, they ate together. And then not only that, Lord, it wasn't just the activities, but their love for one another was so evident. They gave sacrificially and they selflessly shared whatever they had. And Lord, at the end, we also know they were united. They had singleness of heart. They were glad. Lord, help us to be the type of church that you want us to be. Lord, we acknowledge ourselves that we are so weak today, being so influenced by the cultures and the thinking and the philosophies in which we live by, that sometimes what you mean in your word no longer have the type of conviction that it should. But I know, Lord, that you can do anything. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I'd like to do this for the next 1 minute. Just ask all of us to pray by yourself. And whether any of these four is lacking or is something that you need to do business with, or just spend that time in prayer. Then at the end of 1 minute, we'll just close in prayer. Right? Just spend that time with God. Right? Just pray in your hearts. Father, we just thank you for this quiet time we can spend with you in response to your word. Perhaps there's some here, Lord, that have certain things in their hearts that really have to surrender to you. Lord, I pray you give them the strength. If they have repented of their sin and trusted Christ, they have the Holy Spirit in them. And I pray that they will just listen to your voice, Lord. Not so much that noisy voice that leads us away from Christ, but the Word of God that was preached. The Word of God that lingers in their mind to keep saying, do right, follow Christ, obey Him. Heavenly Father, only you can do that. Only you can make the lasting change in us. We dare not interfere with that. So I pray, Father, that you will work in the lives of every believer. You help them to see and hear what you have for them. And Lord, if there's one person who has never trusted Christ, I pray that he will not ever have the peace in his heart. You will make him so messed up in his mind and heart about salvation that the only place that he can come back to is through your word. Oh God, don't give that person peace until he finds the peace in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Because Lord, you did everything you could to save him. You did everything you could, Lord. You went to the cross, you suffered ridicule, you were mocked, you were pierced in your hands, in your side, in your head, in your ankles. You were insulted, and then finally you died. You both died the physical death on the cross, and you were separated from God the Father, so that we can have eternal life, and have our sins washed away by your precious blood. But Lord, not only that, on the third day you rose again. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray if someone who is not a Christian, the Lord, you will work in that person's heart. I'm praying specifically, the Lord, in the next month, that that person will come to faith in Christ. Lord, nothing's impossible with you. But I pray for genuine salvation, where there will be a repentance from sin. And Lord, faith in Christ. Just pray once, prayer, Lord, as we start 2018 in terms of growing in Christ. If there's one believer who has not dealt with that sin or that thing in his life or her life, or any of us, Lord, I pray that you would firmly but gently in your love bring that person to the point of discipline. That God, your will be accomplished in that person's life. Lord, you have answered many of our prayers. And I'm asking you, Lord, to make us pure before you as a church. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. It's not my church, it's yours. And Father, as we see in the scriptures, to be a healthy, growing church, we need to put in what your word says. So Lord, I pray if there's someone here who's still struggling with that, show them your grace. Show them that you're still long-suffering with them. And Father, help them to decide and be obedient to you to come back, both in heart and mind and in his life, to serve you, put you first in everything, not to walk the ways of the world. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray you bless the visitors that are here, those people who have heard the word of God. And God, if there's someone that you're working to be baptized, to be faithful members of Ambassador, to be willing to, after baptism, to follow Christ for the rest of their lives, just like the early church did. Even at the point of opposition and persecution, some of them even gave their lives, Lord. They were willing because of what you have done in their lives. And Lord, we know only you can do that. I pray for the young people who are in service today. I pray that you will constantly open their hearts. Some of them have heard this truth again and again. Oh God, I pray that it will never be a drudgery to them. I pray that they will always welcome your word. So thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless the rest of the Sunday. Bless our visitors. I pray that the love of Christ will fill their hearts. I pray that the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even as they are Christians, will continue to lead them in their spiritual lives. It is for some to be members of Ambassador. For some, Lord, to be willing to press on in their discipleship and Christian life, I pray. Lord, that you will lead them according to your will. And Father, if there's one person once again who's not saved, once again I pray with all my heart that you will not let that person go, Lord. Because once they leave this world, Father, there is no second chance. And Lord, help us to be faithfully preaching the gospel of truth, the gospel of love, and the gospel of eternal life. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.